Peter replied to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
This is Straight Talk.
Well, Steve, you know, the Christian life is really a supernatural life. And as we talk about the first five chapters of the book of Acts, what you'll discover is that this is really God working in a supernatural way in a community of faith. And so this series of messages entitled Supernatural is about what it means to be a part of a community of faith where the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit indwells us and makes us this living, thriving, dynamic, changing organism called the Church of the Living God.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue Pastor Mark's series called Supernatural today with an in-depth look at the book of Acts, the story of the early church, and this is his message called People in Community. Our text will continue in Acts chapter 2. Let's join Pastor Mark for a straight talk on People in Community.
We're in a series entitled Supernatural, and we've been talking about what it means to be a part of a community where the supernatural Spirit of God indwells us. Let me just review a little bit, make sure you're on the same page and you're tracking with me in this teaching on the Holy Spirit, because it's really, really important that you understand it and track with it. It tells us in Acts chapter 2 that there was a large gathering. In fact, there was a celebration. It's called the Feast of Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost was a big deal to the Jewish people. In fact, if you were really a committed Jewish person, you would want to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem, not anywhere else, because that's where the big festivities happen. That's where the big celebrations and religious ceremonies happen. So Jerusalem, that normally had a population between 70,000 to 100,000, during the time of Pentecost, it would swell. And some scholars estimate that they would have 150 or 200,000 people in Jerusalem. It would double its population. It's almost like Chicago around Christmas time. People come from Iowa and Wisconsin and Michigan because they want to shop downtown Chicago. And let's just say that if Chicago is 3 million people and it swelled to 6 million people, just Chicago proper city, you'd get an idea of what happened at Pentecost during that time. So all these people that are Jewish people living elsewhere have come to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. Now, they speak multiple languages. The trade language of those days was Greek. Not the Greek that they speak in Greece right now. It was Old Greek. But it was almost like English is to Europe or other places. It's a trade language. In Europe, everybody wants to learn English. Everybody's trying to learn English. Why? Because it's a commercial language. And people in Spain speak English. In Germany, they speak English. In France, they speak English. Anybody that's in the sort of service industry, they try to learn English because it's the trade language. In those days, Greek was the trade language. So a lot of people spoke Greek. A lot of Jewish people also spoke a degree of Hebrew. And that was sort of their traditional language. But if they lived in another country, as a Jewish person, they also spoke that language. So 120 were gathered together in an upper room, and suddenly, the Bible says that as prophesied in Joel and Isaiah and other places, there was a sound, like a jet sound, sound of a rushing mighty wind. In fact, it was so powerful that the people that were in Jerusalem wondered, what's happening? And a crowd started going over to where they heard this sound come from. 120 were gathered in an upper room. They were praying. And the Bible says that there appeared unto them tongues of fire descended upon each of them. It was like there's these flames of fire appeared on each of them. And suddenly they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in languages that they had not learned. They had not studied in school. They had not learned anywhere. They began to speak in languages that they did not know, did not understand. And they began to thank and worship and talk about how good God was in languages that they had never learned. Imagine 120 people suddenly beginning to speak in languages they had never learned. It's almost as though Vince began to speak Chinese, fluent Chinese or Mandarin, just praising God out loud when he had never studied it. Oh, he does look a little oriental there. Never studied it. And suddenly he begins to preach that and speak that way. And they go out into the streets and people on the streets are gathered in a big crowd saying, what is going on here? Some people are saying, these people are drunk. Look at them. They're just all going like this. They got this stupor on their face, a big smile. They're speaking in languages that we don't understand. They're all on the street. And Peter gets up at that moment and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says to them, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m, folks. They haven't gotten drunk yet. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy that Joel gave. And he talks about the prophecy. And he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ in a powerful way. There's thousands of people around watching. The wind has drawn them. Peter's getting up speaking boldly. In the background there's people praising God in different languages. They're all telling about the goodness of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, boldness. Crowds are gathered around. Peter begins to preach, and he speaks powerfully and boldly who Jesus is and what he meant and what Jesus did. And then at the end of his message, look what it says in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? I love that. That's what every teacher, preacher wants to hear. Wants to hear people say, now what should we do? This was not just a conveying of information. These people were so cut to the heart, so deeply convicted that they wanted to know how they could be saved, how they could change. That's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They were cut to the heart so deeply that they said, now what? And Peter tells them in verse 37, it is the most concise 1, 2, 3 clear explanation of the gospel in one verse in terms of what you should do if you really want to get right with God than anywhere in the New Testament. Listen to what he says. Peter replied to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me just explain that for a second. There are two things that he tells them to do. Repent and be baptized. Someone says, I really want to come to God. I don't know. What should I do? Should I join a class? How do I come to God? Two things. Repent and be baptized. You say, well, Pastor, I thought we had to believe. Yeah, you see, the word repent and belief are used interchangeably in the New Testament. You cannot believe without repenting, and you cannot repent without believing. In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer asked Paul, what should I do to be saved? And he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized. Here he says, repent and be baptized. You see, in order to repent, you have to believe that you need to change. You have to believe that you cannot save yourself. You have to believe that only Jesus is the way. And then repentance means you believe so much that you're willing to change your ways, go the opposite direction, and begin a new life. You cannot truly believe without repenting. You cannot truly repent without believing. So once you have believed and repented, then the next step is be baptized. Now, next Sunday, we're having a baptism. And some of you are saying, well, I don't understand all this baptism stuff. That's kind of weird, isn't it? You dump people in water and they get all wet. They're adults in clothes, dumping in water. I just don't understand that. Well, let me explain it to you a little bit. Jesus was baptized as an adult. John the Baptizer was baptized. The apostles were baptized in the Jordan River. And this is why we baptize. Baptism is a symbol. It's an exterior symbol. When you go into the waters of baptism, you are saying, My life is buried. I am dead to the old self. That's why we go all the way underwater. Although I've had a few baptisms that didn't quite go underwater, but it counts. You go underwater, and then you come out of the water, and as you come out of the water, there's two things that it symbolizes. Number one, that you're clean, and number two, that you're resurrected to a new life in Jesus Christ. So, the baptism, hear me well, baptism doesn't wash your sins away. What washes your sins away is believing and repentant, the blood of Jesus Christ. What baptism does is baptism is a sign of what has already happened inside of you. It's like a marriage ceremony is to a couple that's already committed to love each other and spend the rest of their life together, right? That's why when we have baptisms, we don't do private baptisms. Once in a while, I've had people say, Pastor, you know, I'm just really afraid of public. I'm kind of shy. Could I get baptized privately? No, you can't. I don't want you to get baptized privately. I want people to see what you're doing. I want people to celebrate. This is a public testimony to what's happened inside. Don't tell me to go to your shower and baptize you. I have no desire to do that. I want to do it publicly. I want the world to see. And by the way, resurrect and come out again. The Bible says that on this day, there were 3,000 that received the message and got baptized. Imagine baptizing 3,000 people. Now, I baptized one time 35 people. This was years ago at Curie High School, and it was one of the first baptisms we were doing on stage with the baptistry, and we had a big long line, 35 people. And boy, what a mess. I'll tell you, I was soaking wet when I was done, because we were baptizing like this and splashing, trying to get them out, because it was just taking a long time. There was water all over the platform, so people were slipping and falling, and we're trying to get people going. And then we had spillover. We had one really, really, really big guy that went into the water baptism and just spilled all over. And it was just a big mess, although we celebrated, and it was a great time. But there was only 35. Imagine 3,000 people in one day getting baptized. What a celebration. So now the church has gone from 120 people to 3,120 people. And you say, well, Pastor, what did they do? Like, how did they mentor these people? How did they integrate these people? Well, think about this. They have no buildings, because there's no buildings that existed until about 330 AD. There's no Bibles because the printing press hasn't been invented yet. So the New Testament is written. And although they had the Old Testament, the only people that had the Old Testament was written in scrolls. And so they were found in the synagogues. So you have 3,000 people with no Bibles, no church building, no radio, no television, no Christian books, no classrooms to sit in. Just 3,000 people that say, we're going to follow Jesus no matter what.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled People in Community, which is from our current series called Supernatural. Please stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Acts chapter 4. Our message is called People in Community.
They don't even live in Jerusalem. Most of them are from outside of Jerusalem, a big percentage of them. And so you have the beginning of the church. Talk about a mess. But here's how they grew. And here's what's important for us to understand. It's so important for us to understand the beginning of the church, because the church is not a building. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it again. The church is a people. And the church will not be a people unless it's a people filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, most people look at the book of Acts as the beginning of the church because it's the first time that we all got connected to one another. Do you understand that? The Bible compares the body, the church, to a physical body. Now if I were to go and I were to step on your toe, try to go right now and step on Ray's toe, more than likely he would say, ouch. Now, I stepped on his toe, but his mouth says, ouch. So, hey, what's your mouth have to do with your toe? I stepped on your toe. Why is your mouth saying, ouch? Your mouth is way up here, your toe's way down there. Because your body's connected, right? In 1 Corinthians, it says you have a hand, you have a mouth, you have a nose, you have and the body's like that. And that's how we are within the body. There's various members to this body. And although we are all various members in this body, we are connected. My mouth says, ouch, because it's connected to my toe. And via the nervous system, it goes all the way up my spine. It goes to my brain. My brain says the toe is hurting. My mouth says, ouch, because we are all connected to one another. And in the same way, the body of Christ is that way. You are connected to each other via the Holy Spirit. Your problem is my problem. Your joy is my joy. Your issues are my issues. Why? Because we're all part of one body. We're connected via the Holy Spirit. We are not an organization. We are an organism. A living organism called the Church of the Living God. And the Bible says that they repented and believed, and two things happened. Look at your Bible, what it says. Once they repented and believed and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the what? Verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for what? What happens? The forgiveness of your sins. And what else happens? Verse 39. And the end of verse 38. And you will receive the gift of the what? The Holy Spirit. So listen to me well. When you repent and are baptized, two things happen in your life. Number one, your sins are forgiven completely, 100%. Everything that's ever happened in your life, all of your past is absolutely washed and cleansed. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. And I don't. To be honest, I don't want to know. But here's what I know. That if you receive Christ as your Savior and Lord, you repent and believe and been baptized, then your sins are forgiven. You say, well, I have some pretty bad sins there. It doesn't matter. You see, if the blood of Jesus isn't powerful enough to wash the worst of sins, then it's not powerful enough. It doesn't matter where you've been, how long you've been there, what you've done, who you've done it to, how long you did it, how gruesome and bad and awful and contrary to the holiness of God it is. All of your past, 100%, all of your sins are wiped off your slate for good, never to be brought against you by God Himself, because the blood of Jesus is powerful to do though. 100%. That should make a lot of us breathe a sigh of relief and say, wow. God's grace is powerful. The other thing that happens is not just that your sins are forgiven, completely forgiven. You say, well, Pastor, I still feel guilty for some of the things I did in your past. You may feel bad about what you did in your past, but God no longer holds those sins against you. They're clean. They're washed. They're forgiven. Jesus took them upon Himself. It's a powerful concept. God will never judge you for them. Never. They've been cleansed. But once you have been cleansed, not only do you receive cleansing, the gift of forgiveness, but you receive something else as well. And you receive, it says, the gift of what? The Holy Spirit. You see, once your life is clean, at the same time that your life is clean, you also receive the indwelling of the third person of the Godhead called the Holy Spirit. The moment you say yes to God, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And now the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. It's God in you. Your life is clean, and now the gift of the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and God starts living inside of you. He convicts you. He instructs you. He empowers you. He gives you gifts. He guides you. He illuminates the Word of God to you. He leads you into all righteousness. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's with you 24 hours a day. He empowers you to live your Christian life. There is no such thing as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a believer without having the Holy Spirit inside of you. Do you understand that? Some people say, well, Pastor, I decided to follow Jesus Christ. Or I run into some people, they say, well, you're a believer. Yeah, but have you received the Holy Spirit? You see, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as a believer without the Holy Spirit. Now, you may need the power of the Spirit, and you need to be filled with the Spirit, but you have the Holy Spirit. So now, at the moment of your salvation, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. He convicts you. It's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. Because here's the thing. No one has to give you a book of rules of do's and don'ts. Automatically, you start knowing things are wrong when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Have you ever noticed that? Suddenly, someone comes to Christ, the Holy Spirit's inside of them, and they come and say, well, I feel bad about doing this. Well, did someone tell you it was wrong? No. Then how do you know? I don't know. I just know inside it's wrong. Why? The Holy Spirit. It's powerful. Wherever you go, the power of the Spirit is inside of you. God, the third person of God, living in you, changing you, renewing you, transforming you from the inside out. And then it goes on to say, listen, you receive, and you say, well, that's just for those guys way back then 2,000 years ago. Look what it says in verse 39. The promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This promise is not just for people that existed during the days of Acts. This promise is for you and I today. The power and presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's our promise as well. Now, what happens? How do you grow? If you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit and you're forgiven, say, I'm forgiven. I have the Holy Spirit. Now, Pastor, I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to mature in my life. How do I do that? Well, it tells us what they began to do. Look what it says in verse 42. It tells us in verse 41 that 3,000 were baptized and more were added to their number that day. And so they began to do four things. We've talked about these four things before, but I'm going to remind you of what these four things are. These are four things that these people began to do on a regular basis to grow. And I want you to understand this. You grow the most when you are a part of a body and when you're plugged in, the Holy Spirit's inside of you, and you've repented and you believe, that's how you start to grow in God. And it says, and they devoted themselves. This word devote is the word proskatero in the Greek, and it means to be steadfastly attentive to something, to give unremitting care to something. It means you're focused on it, you're into it, you're giving 100% of your attention to it. And here's what it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Listen, if you're going to grow, once you have the Holy Spirit, once you're forgiven, if you're going to grow, you need to be into doctrine and theology. You need to be into the teaching of the Word of God. You need to know what the Word of God says. I run into people once in a while that say, well, Pastor, I don't know. It's just hard for me to... I'm not a reader. Especially men. I run into men that say, Pastor, I'm just not a reader. I don't know. Maybe it's too much lead paint when I was a little kid. I don't know. It's hard for me to grasp things. When I was in high school, I sniffed glue. I think I lost a few cells, did a little too much, smoked a little too much weed. And I don't know. I just think that it's just hard for me to read. But then I'll get in a conversation with you and I'll start talking to you about the Sox and statistics. And you'll say, well, 1947, so-and-so was on this base and that base and they ended up the series this to this. And this guy had a batting average of this. And this one's like, whoa, you're like a walking encyclopedia of the Sox history. And other guys, I'll start talking to you about cars and you'll tell me about the model and the make and it was discontinued this year and it has this kind of piece and engine and horsepower and you'll know all the cars, all the pieces, and then I talk to you about the Word and you say, well, it's just hard for me to know the Word, Pastor.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago with the first half of his message called People in Community. It's from his current series called Supernatural. Join us again tomorrow for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.